because you can handle the truth.
Stop the presses. Yes, that is correct. You heard the name. Stop the presses here on RBN. Your host, Mark Anderson. It's the 20th of March, 2019. Things are just rolling right along here in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. Things are unusually cloudy, not sunny, rainy, wet, kind of the sky likes to cry, you might say. It's almost like living in Seattle these days, as I'm told, though I've never been there. They tell me it's nice, but continually overcast here in the valley. A couple years ago, going back years before that, I was wearing a tank top and flip-flops by now. Haven't seen the flip-flop. Don't even know where my flip-flops are, in fact. But on a much more serious note today, if we must, I, along with a co-host today, Ronald F. Avery, I believe you're out there, Ron, right?
I'm here.
In mind and spirit. Ron coming to us from another part of Tejas, and we are going to, once again, deep dive into the deep state's linguistic attack on humanity.
Yeah, good, Mark. Before you get going, just let us tell them how big the state is, because where I'm at, it's partly cloudy, 71, feels really good. I ate outside with the sun beaming on me, and we're, what, a couple of hundred miles north of you?
Yeah, about 2 1/4. Yeah, it's warmer up there in, should I even say where you live?
Sure, Seguin, Texas. Great town.
I guess we're all underground now, according to the press, Ron.
Oh.
And at the Ron and Mark show, the Mark and Ron show, I believe this is going to grow in popularity. There's just something about, there was the Bob and Tom show up north, where they would tell jokes and they would play a song called B-E-E-R-R-U-N, Beer Run, and they would laugh for a half hour, and they were popular. They wouldn't even have to talk. They would just laugh at their own jokes.
How about Abbott and Costello style, too, you know, kind of slapstick.
Yeah, one is the foil and one is more funny than the other. And yeah. I don't want to have to guess which one's the foil and which one's more funny than the other. So we'll leave that alone. But unfortunately, we have to depart the world of light living and humor. And as much as we hold our nose doing it, we have to look, I believe, Ron, we talked off the air, we have to continually look, in fact, at the extreme full Nelson we're being put into through neuro-linguistic programming and through other techniques like projection, conflation, and all sorts of things. And I know, Ron, you want to talk about some domestic matters, but I want to start out by saying that I did watch, and we'll probably take some calls in the second half of the show today, but we want to lay a groundwork. I did watch what is becoming one of the most banned videos in the world, and that's the video of the alleged shooter in Christchurch, New Zealand, a three-named lone gunman. Evidently, that franchise, that trademark's been sold by America to other countries. Now they're all three-named lone gunmen. And his name, we're told, is Brenton Harrison Tarrant, 28 years old. And he's your what's become an archetype now, a stereotype figure, the crew cut or short-haired or shaven white man with a square jaw who is the face of terror, like Emmanuel Goldstein in 1984. If you're a white guy with short hair and a square jaw and you like to wear sporty or outdoorsy kind of clothes, you just might be a church or a school shooter.
Yeah.
At any rate, that's the archetype. Now, this is not to say that this Brenton Harrison Tarrant didn't do it. And it's not to say that he did. First causes, first events. The video shows what looks like a person, and it does at one point show this alleged person's face, driving to one of two mosques. Evidently, the video doesn't catch the fact that he went to two mosques. There's some real problems with the story on that. But it does show him going to one apparent mosque and shooting what appear to be, and I'm being kind, appear to be real bullets out of a assault rifle. I'm putting hand quotes around that word. And shooting people without really any apparent, much if any apparent blood. And he goes in and makes kind of a erratic entry, goes back out, goes back in, and then shoots the same people already on the floor to quote unquote make sure they're dead. Now this, you know, that's a little bit difficult to believe that someone would go in and go to all the trouble of doing this, although he seems to be, if what we're seeing is reality, he seems to be pretty calm and collected for the most part, very competent with a firearm overall, evidently. I'm using some safety valves here in what I say, because I've only watched the video twice. There can be a lot of misleading things. Some of the sharpness of the live stream video through Facebook, we're told this is how this was done, as he wore some sort of webcam on his hat or something, or on his body. But so we're told that this happened, and one of the things, there's so many things that could be said. I'll leave aside for now whether the video shows an actual shooting of real rounds that are actually killing people and drawing blood. You really don't see much, if any, blood. There's one point when he shoots his way in, going in. Well, it looks like he's shooting his way in, and it looks like there's a little blood here and there. But overall, despite the apparent carnage, there's another safety valve word. You really don't see much blood. You wonder why someone would go to all the trouble to go back in and shoot people already lying on the floor who are evidently already dead. There's that word, evidently, or are about to die. You would think you'd want to get out of there if, because you're already planning to go to a second mosque in the greater Christchurch area. So time is of the essence. You don't want to get caught if your goal is to go to two mosques. Of course, he evidently leaves a gun behind. So, and you already posted a manifesto before you did this. We're told a 70-some page manifesto. So maybe you plan on getting caught so you can speak out in court, even though one would wonder why you'd want to hand yourself over to the authorities to be either executed. I don't know if they have capital punishment in New Zealand, or spend, obviously, life in prison. But you evidently at least don't want to get caught until you at least hit the other mosque. You at least want to get both taken care of. I doubt if you'd plan on hitting one and then go, oh, at the last minute, I think I'll go to another one. That seems extremely doubtful to me. All this being said, what I'm getting at here is that there's this video that we're told not to watch that's being banned and scrubbed off the internet. New Zealanders are being threatened with 10 years in prison or more for even having it on their computers, regardless of what their point of view is. And whether that will come to fruition or not, I don't know. But what we're looking at here is an event where we really don't know the veracity of what actually happened. And yet now the New York Times and New Zealand authorities are already all agreeing on the coming gun laws, and white nationalist and white supremacist groups are being equated with one another, even though white supremacists, if they really believe in white supremacy, and white nationalists are viewed as basically one and the same by the ruling establishment, even though there could be very significant differences. A lot of white nationalists just want equal recognition for people of European extraction. They don't believe in supremacy per se. Others, especially skinheads, they may harbor those views. But the action is in the reaction, Ron. And so while we don't know the exact veracity, and there are a number of holes in the story and in the video, one being, let's start there, Ron. There's so many ways we could go with this. We're told that he live streamed this on Facebook, a apparently violent event of an apparently real shooting by this evidently somewhat radicalized Brenton Harrison Tarrant, 28, a alleged white nationalist. We're told that he just hooked up his webcam and live streamed it through Facebook. Nobody knew anything, and that the only way that Facebook's operators were to know of this would have been if someone would have seen it and called the authorities or somehow gotten a hold of Facebook. I'm not sure how you even do that. I don't know the answer to this, and maybe callers can tell me. Can anyone, let's say you wanted to go rob a convenience store, can you live stream that through Facebook, Ron? Can that be done?
Yes, you actually can, because people live stream to Facebook all the time. Their phones, you probably have a phone that can do that as well. If you got one of these iPhones or something, I don't have one. I have a stupid flip phone, but that's one of the reasons I don't like all that stuff. But they can live stream anytime they want to Facebook, and whoever happens to be their friend will have, you know, that shot by their timeline at some point. I miss millions of things on Facebook because I have over 1,000 friends, and the stuff goes by so fast, I see very little of it. But it would be there, and it would stay on his page at a place, at his home page on Facebook. But the catch is, what would prevent me from just taking a picture of anybody and then putting it in front of me and walking into a building to shoot everybody and video it? But the picture I took was not of me. It was of somebody else. I could do a really good frame job. I have a lot of people I videoed. I could just take a couple of scenes of that and pop that in there. And go to town, or just take a picture of anybody on the street and then go in there and do the shoot 'em up. One thing I just got through watching was a CBS thing. I didn't get to see the video because I think that video you're talking about is long gone. But I did watch the CBS thing, and they went to great lengths to warn you that it was shocking and it was disturbing, and that they had gone to great lengths to prevent you from seeing anything that would be too disturbing. So after 10 minutes of watching their video, you find out it didn't show you anything disturbing. It was simply interviews of people that were around the scene. And there was no dead body. There was no there looked like there was some wounded people being taken to an ambulance. They were all on a stretcher, and it was all clean, and there wasn't anything shocking. I mean, how is it that we watch so many videos and movies that are just absolutely gory? The Walking Dead and people blown to smithereens and all. We're used to blood, guts, and gore. And they'll never, ever show you a single shred of evidence of any of these mass shootings. And the only reason I can think of is that they're hiding something. They want to use these for maximum propaganda and not real. There's no investigation. This Sandy Hook thing is still going on, still in the, and there's 740 pages of investigative material on that. And there's only five photographs in the whole thing. And they are pictures of a gun laying in the trunk of a car, and another picture of a gun somewhere, and two or three other little gun pictures. Nothing else. Not a single thing. Everything else is redacted, blacked out, and a very crude, stupid diagrams that is so small you can't read them. It's a travesty. It's the worst crime scene reporting I've ever seen in my life. I didn't even know you could get by with such a lousy, crappy job of investigating. And now they're going to let the Supreme Court of Connecticut Supreme Court is going to let nine Sandy Hook survivors or the families of the victims sue the gun manufacturer for advertising that may have led the shooter to do this, or the alleged shooter. And I just, anytime they're going to try to clamp down on our liberties, which I believe is a crime, I know it's a crime. It's a crime to disarm the American people. It's a criminal thing. That's the commission of a crime. If you want to disarm the American people, you are a criminal. And the only reason you'd want to disarm the American people is so that tyranny could have its way. And so here's what they want to do. They want to create tyranny and institute tyranny, and they want to do it without even revealing to the people anything about the crime that's causing this, the removal of your firearms. I think if they're going to do this, they're going to make these people out to be and change the laws. If they're going to disarm the people, by God, they ought to show every shred of evidence, blood on the floor, a face with the eyeballs open and tongue hanging out. I mean, get it down, man. I want to see it, dude.
Let me interject there, Ron, and here's the extreme irony of the situation. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, despite the anomalies and inconsistencies and nonsensical, counterintuitive stuff that went on in the video, which I did see all the way through, it is still available.
Oh,
despite all that, and I watched it through twice, let's just say for the sake of argument that it's a real video of a real shooting in one of the two mosques that it appears to be. I'm stressing the word appears. That would mean, and I'm not saying that I think the alleged shooter, the lone nut white nationalist, the Emmanuel Goldstein of modern times, I'm not saying he's a good guy. If this is real, I'm not saying it was a good thing. I'm not standing up for him in any way, shape, or form. But what I am saying is that he would be the first person that has shown us some simile, some reasonable account of a mass shooting. He would have done us the favor of filming it, because for the first time, we would see the inside of what happened. Imagine if we had a film of Sandy Hook and who really did that and what they really did, if it happened the way we're told. Imagine if we had a film of the anomalous situation near you in Sutherland Springs. And imagine if that shooter, Devin Patrick Kelly, deplorable though he may have been, he allegedly and reportedly shot himself at the end of the struggle. Imagine if he had filmed it. He would have done us a favor.
There would be evidence of the crime and what happened. You know, who got shot first and how they went down, or it'd show you the whole thing. But we've seen none of this. We've seen literally no evidence of most of these mass shootings. No evidence whatsoever.
That's what I'm saying. The irony is that the first evidence we're getting, if this film is genuine, of a real shooting, is coming from the accused criminal, not from the authorities, and sure as hell ain't going to come from the media. They will not give us any hard facts. As you say, we can have Fox News shows where Lucifer is a cop. We can have all sorts of shoot 'em up movies. We'll be back with more after this.
Simple smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity, stray. Rangers storm them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity, charge the common ground.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Returning to Stop the Presses, your host Mark Anderson with co-host today Ron Avery. We're coming at you here the 20th of March, 2019. Ron, I want to clarify that the reason I ask about Facebook live streaming at the beginning was because I didn't know if this varies country to country. We're talking New Zealand, you know, pretty far across the world. And it just struck me as odd. With all the deplatforming and all the censorship that the private organizations like Google and Facebook and YouTube are doing, often on behalf of governments or in collusion with governments, it struck me as odd that I didn't know, I guess you'd say, that whether someone could do something like this, film something of this nature in that country and have it be, you know, 18, 20 minutes long, however that raw video footage is of the Christchurch, New Zealand shooting, without it being detected in process. And evidently, Facebook is universal enough to where whether you're in Australia, New Zealand, or Europe, or America, maybe it's basically the same. But that's just why I asked it. We won't get into that by elaborating. But what we're looking at here, we're going into the short segment before the bottom of the hour. What we're looking at here, of course, is the conflation and equating that's going on. So we're going to look at what the New York Times is writing. they're talking about the multiplier effect, where now other white supremacists and white nationalists, which are now, according to the Times, all one and the same, that's conflation, putting things together arbitrarily and connecting them. They're worried about now that many more people will be emboldened to come out of the woodwork. So now they're raising the specter of many short-haired white guys with square jaws coming out with their guns and going to churches and mosques and synagogues and schools and being emboldened by who they may see as a quasi-hero, Brenton Harrison Tarrant, out of the Christchurch shooting. And so we're seeing pathologization of right-wing thinking. It's continuing in the wake of Sandy Hook and Sutherland Springs, that anyone, sometimes with a military background, but anyone of that fits that basic description is to be distrusted, and anyone that has a quote white right-wing philosophy is to be distrusted. And so the idea here is now to solidify this and to get the public to think that anyone that fits a certain description, and in, ironically in this case, a native-born American, could be and is likely to be, more likely than others, is likely to be the very next school or church shooter, especially if they espouse conservative ideas that are a little bit right of conventional conservatism, for sure. So amid all the other questions about gun control, is going to be, and they're saying it also in the New York Times today, they're saying other groups that are simply existing in New Zealand, oh, they have different names. The Dominion Movement is one of them. Let me finish. Okay. All of them are being deplatformed now. There doesn't have to be any proof that they're connected whatsoever to the accused shooter in Christchurch. It is simply they're all being connected now, and they're all being deplatformed. No court decisions, no court orders, no police actions, nothing. They're simply deplatforming everyone that even thinks a little bit like them. So you see where this is going. It's becoming a dragnet of a certain kind of stereotype.
Well, what you're saying is that these people are being targeted. They're being singled out as the group you don't want to be in. You don't want to be one of these people because they have bad tendencies. They're violent. They're racist. They do all of this. And quite frankly, I believe that's incorrect for sure. The people I know that would fit that description, white or Anglo or Saxon or they're nationalist. These people are kind of savvy. They wouldn't think of going and shooting black people or Muslims or anybody else. They wouldn't do that. They would know that's counterproductive and that it wasn't good. Most of the people I know like that, they want their own liberty. They want their own freedom. They want secure borders. They want reliable government that's responsible. They want to be able to protect their homes, their property. They want their property protected. And they're not interested in just randomly going around killing a group of people. I think all this stuff is being created to target these kinds of individuals, because the kind of criminals that are running these countries today, running the West, they are targeting white nationalists because those are the only people they're afraid of. They're able to convince a lot of these other people that they have the right plan for them, and they're going to have good socialism, and they don't need guns, and they're just going to take care of their every whim, and all that's going to be, everybody's going to be given a check, and everybody's going to be happy. But it's the white nationalists, the people that want property, want to own property, want to have rights, and these are the people they're targeting. They don't want that. They don't want people to be armed or own property.
Very nobly stated and well stated, Ron. We'll be back with more of this discussion and your calls if you want to chime in after these messages.
Yeah. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
And returning to Stop the Presses here on the 20th of March, 2019, co-hosting with Ron Avery today. I'm your host, Mark Anderson. Quick announcement, this coming Friday, March 22, my special guest will be James Perloff, the noted author of The Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations, and The American Decline. We're going to venture off into weather modification as well as cyber tyranny, the CFR, and a number of other hot topics. It's sure to be a good discussion with James Perloff this coming Friday, March 22, here on Stop the Presses. Pardon me. Now, returning with Ron Avery, my co-host, I just want to kind of put a capstone on what I was saying, Ron, and to sort of answer what you're saying. Then we have a caller we'll get to in just a moment. Excuse me. But the situation here and what you were describing, Ron, is what's known as pathologizing. So they... And here's the catch. The shooting can be real or it doesn't have to be real, because the action is always in the reaction. As bad as the shooting might have been, and certainly was, if it really happened the way we view it to be, view to have happened, if it was for real, then of course that's a bad thing. But just as bad or worse can be the reaction in terms of the long-term effects. And the action is always in the reaction. So if the reaction is to pathologize or criminalize an entire school of thought, that's anything pretty right of center in terms of political thinking, anything that tends toward nationalism, because they'll automatically conflate that with white nationalism, not just nationalism. Remember, you don't have to be white to be a nationalist. There's plenty of nationalists in black parts of Africa and people of all colors and races and creeds. Let's not forget about Israel. Right-wing nationalists, violent against the Palestinians. What about the guns of the state? So only private guns are bad, but if Hellfire missiles and the guns of the state are brought down to bear, entire funerals can be wiped out, weddings can be wiped out, because there might be one suspected terrorist on the other end of the West's guns. So the West, the militaries of the world, the guns of the state know no limits. The state can't be wrong because it's the state. So it's only private guns, and of the nationalists, it's only white nationalists, and so we have to pathologize, criminalize, and say that any right-wing thinking, if you're a nationalist, you must be a supremacist. You couldn't possibly believe in even rough parity or equality or equal treatment before the law. No one is above the law. No one is beneath its protection. All these ideals, all these good principles that America started with are thrown in this cesspool of criminalization being thrown at us by the ruling establishment, the ones that caused the wars. Those wars bring about massive, unnatural immigration and migration, a whole people's moving from one typically brown nation, forgive the expression, and moving to what were traditionally European extracted nations like New Zealand. So the wars of the Western powers and the wars of the ruling classes are the ones that are forcing civilizations to unnaturally migrate and bringing about the clash of civilizations that they've spoken about in their own terms, in their own papers, in their own studies in the ruling establishment, bringing about the friction that sets off unstable personalities like these accused shooters. So who's really creating the climate for violence here? Is it the occasional shooter where we're not even sure what happened, as bad as those shootings might have been? Or is it the ruling class establishment that creates the basic framework for playing one civilization or one race off another, one creed or culture off another, synthetically and unnaturally driving countries together, or peoples together rather, in unnatural waves of migration due to the wars that NATO has waged, due to the wars that the U.S. has waged? Where is the violence? Who are the real killers here? That's what it comes down to. Who are the ones that have the guns that are out of control? It's the state. It is the central state. It is the modern empire. That is whose guns are out of control. But we have to add this in. And because now in all the conflation and all the psycholinguistic programming, that word gunman keeps coming up. Well, the gunman carried out murder. The word should be assailant. The assailant used a firearm in the commission of the felony crime of murder. Instead, they want to make you believe that the mere existence of a gun is part of the crime.
Absolutely. They want to criminalize the gun. The gun did the violence. That's why they use the term gun violence, as if the guns were sitting around waiting to attack somebody, which is ridiculous. And you use the term early in the show, assault weapon. Well, of course, that's a fraudulent term, too, because guns are guns and guns are weapons, and that's what they are. They can be used for defense or offense. An offense weapon is a bad thing, and a defense weapon is a good thing. And it doesn't make any difference how effective they are. Certainly for a defense weapon, you'd want an effective gun, not a piece of junk. We're living in an age that has no principles. They do not teach principles. They don't teach them in your public schools. They don't teach them in the colleges. You certainly don't see them on television. You have no principles. It's a principleless world. It's just all propaganda. And you just believe and understand the way they tell it to you. They wouldn't be able to, the state wouldn't be able to conduct these unlawful wars if people knew what an unlawful war was, if they knew the limits of Congress and the president in the terms of making a war. They
Correct.
Don't. The people are ignorant. They don't know that there's such a thing as lawful or unlawful wars. They just say, well, do they have the right to make war? And they don't. So it's a mess, and it is the mass media that is really compounding the problem.
Major. Before time gets away from us, which is really easy in a one-hour live show, we have Paul from New Jersey. You still with us, Paul? Thanks for hanging on.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, I'd like to define a little bit about the concept of white supremacy. You know, for one, supremacy means dominance, right? And I'll admit this, I was born in this country in 1959, and so at that point, it was a white-dominated nation. Whites were about 90% of the population. So I would argue that only fools would ever give up their dominance or ever think that whites being the dominant racial group in America is somehow wrong or something to be back away from. You know, why should there be an onslaught against our white domination of this nation? Why should that be a bad thing, for one? So I think we have to defend the term. Why should we all of a sudden become inferior? I mean, is it going to be better when it's white inferiority? And are those who are against white supremacy, are they really advocating for white inferiority? You know, and also to take a look at what our founders wanted, and in the founding documents, in the Declaration of Independence, it portrays the Indians as savages, says it right in there, savage and cruel methods of warfare. Then in the Constitution, when referring to minorities, they count them as three-fifths of a human being. Then in 1790, the Naturalization Act says that our founders only wanted migrants who were white and of good character. So you could even see with our founders, they wanted this to be a white nation. And so we should never back away from that or go along with the left or get weak-kneed concerning those issues. And we have to be upfront, yes, I want the whites to be dominant. And yes, our founders wanted this to be a white nation, and we should do everything in our power to vote for politicians who act in our interests. And this is part of the reason why Donald Trump has betrayed us, but he has provided only one service, which is good, and that is showing that really we are under Jewish domination by the way he fawned all over AIPAC and the Holocaust over at the CPAC meetings, you know, at the CPAC convention 2 weeks ago. And it really shows that we are living in a Jewish-dominated, Zionist-controlled nation. Not a white supremacy nation, but a Jewish supremacy nation.
I agree with that. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, very interesting, Paul. You know, it can't be denied that there's something going on here regarding organized Jewish interests, and it's not something I get into very often. I think you have to choose your battles carefully, especially when you get into these issues. But it is, I think, very factual that AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, is among, if not the top dominant lobbying group, and that means that our foreign policy is inexorably steered toward preserving Israeli domination in the Mideast, and that translates into them having to dominate, if there's a better word, I'm all open to it, but dominate and certainly direct how our money is spent and how our military conducts itself, and that is to fight Israel's enemies. What's the one nation that didn't help us fight Israel's enemies in the war on terror since 9/11/2001? Israel. We had Canadian troops helping in the coalition. We had British troops helping in the coalition. If there were any Israeli troops involved at all, I certainly didn't know about it. So for all the largesse and all the money we dish out to that alleged country, there's certainly no payback. And it's certainly ironic that the Israeli nation behaves in the very way that these accused shooters behave in. they're allowed to be nationalistic. They're allowed to be very picky about who immigrates to Israel, and they're said to be right-wing. Benjamin Netanyahu is far and away responsible for many more ultra-violent deaths than is Brenton Harris and Tarrant, or that any one of these so-called shooters could ever be. That's the great irony. It's the state. The state can do what the individual can't. The state can bomb a whole country into oblivion. All of this violence is okay if it's the state, and if it's the Israeli state, it's more than okay. It gets our full-fledged foreign aid support. And meanwhile, America cannot be nationalistic according to its roots. And yes, there's always going to be some immigration. You know, it's a very fluid society now. It might not be realistic to be predominantly white because of the way, you know, travel is so easy now and inexpensive. But we do have the right to be, at least have a prevailing culture of our European heritage in terms of our political principles, in terms of the kind of thinking that comes out of that European culture. I believe
that's
we
what
have
I
the right.
Get to. That's what I want to get to. I don't think the nation ever was truly a racist nation where it says we're all white, we're Anglos, we're Saxon, that's going to be it. These people were interested in principles. They had all read John Locke's Second Treatise of Government. They had read Algernon Sidney's discourses on government. They knew what lawful government was, and they were sick of tyranny. That's really what it was. And John Adams said that the nation was built for only two reasons, for the establishment of religious freedom and for the security against the feudal system. So what they wanted to do in America was own property like royalty that could not be a lien for taxes or any other purpose. And the other is to have religious freedom. That is America, and we don't have that country anymore. I don't care if it's white, yellow, black, green, or blue. Nobody owns any property, and nobody has very many liberties at all left. This thing is in the trash can.
Yeah, that being said, I think you're correct, although I think that there was sort of a presupposition that it would be primarily a country based on European extraction, but maybe not. Maybe they didn't make that explicit. I'm not sure. But those principles are achievable and desirable, I would think, for pretty much anyone universally. The only thing is we should not instill them at the end of a gun like the neoconservatives want to do and so-called export our values. Of course, it's not really American values the neoconservatives are trying to export. They'll agree with us, Ron, the neocons, that America's principles should be universal. The difference is they redefine the principles, and they want to export them at the barrel of a gun by force if necessary. And we try to properly define those principles, and we want people to voluntarily adopt them.
Even have them at home. How could we be pushing them overseas? We don't have them here. We'd have to get them here first.
Right, exactly. See, so we're stuck in a huge paradox where we really don't know what our country is supposed to be based on. So when you see crimes like New Zealand or Sandy Hook or Sutherland Springs and different ones, the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting, and you look at the war policy, military policy, and if you don't know what the basic constitutional framework and principles are, you can't make the call that this policy is wise, this policy is unwise. Therefore, we're swept away in the emotion of the moment, and the action is in the reaction, and so on and so forth. So we got a couple minutes before the break. I don't know if Paul is still with us. We get going, and you got about a minute or 30 seconds. Go ahead and give us a final remark if you'd like.
Yeah, I do believe that the country was intended ultimately with a racial intention. And we have to remember, too, that for the majority of our country, we had anti-miscegenation laws throughout the country, even going up until the 1910s and 20s. With the Mann Act, they would enforce laws basically to prevent miscegenation. So the United States has always protected the white race, or the majority of our history of protecting the racial purity of our people, and basically for white favoritism. You know, let's remember one last thing. It wasn't the Klan or the Nazis who wrote the Immigration Act of 1965, all right? So when the Muslims blow up something in the United States or do a terrorist act, don't go blaming the Klan or the Nazis for that. Go blame your diversity promoters, the ones for migration, and the ones singing Kumbaya and thinking we're all just going to get along. On that note, gentlemen, thank you.
Interesting point, Paul. Thanks for calling. You know, that is an interesting point, Ron, is that, and I thought of this too, and I mentioned it earlier, alluded to it, that these wars that force people to migrate unusually quickly and in unusually high numbers, and the general open society philosophy does create a fast and abrupt and awkward mixture of civilizations and creeds and cultures that can bring about less than harmonious living.
Believe it or not, I'm not going to buy that myself. I think they're not happy enough just to have an influx of different people. They incite riot and trouble. Our government and our media does that.
Well, I think it all works hand in hand. We'll be back after this final message.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And returning for the final segment of Stop the Presses, your host Mark Anderson with co-host Ron Avery today, 20 March 2019. Ron, yeah, just to wind up what we were saying, tie up that loose end, as it were, what I was saying was that the unnatural, uncontrolled open society migration, some of it forced by Western wars, creates the general framework with which what you talked about, the incitement going on via the mass media cartel, the two go hand in hand. You create this kind of unnatural pool of people that have some very big differences, but everything kind of chugs along okay, and then you've got the perfect storm for the media to thereby use its propaganda and incite people. That mosque down the street that wasn't there 10 years ago, they're invading your country. You know, it creates the perfect situation. The tinderbox effect is all I was saying.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure that some of it is totally fake to start with. I'm still unconvinced about Sandy Hook. I don't think the thing ever happened. Until the government can produce a document that shows the real evidence of that, I'm a disbeliever in Sandy Hook. I don't think it took place at all.
Well, this is the problem, and this is why I brought up in such skeptical terms the Christchurch, New Zealand shooting. We're seeing a video. If it's real, ironically, the shooter has been the only one to do the service of showing us what a shooting looks like. If it's not real, then something is certainly rotten in Denmark, if there ever was, and that is we're being given videos that look to be real superficially but aren't. So which is it? Are we finally seeing what a mass shooting looks like? Or are we being even lied to and being given something phony?
And well, you know, we watch TV that has a crime scene investigation. There's all kind of movies on TV about investigation of crimes. Why don't they watch TV a couple of nights and then go out and actually do one? Actually do a crime scene investigation, document it, take pictures. You know, remember the outlines on the floor and the bodies and all that? Why don't they actually do that? And if they're going to take our guns away and disarm us so we'll be totally vulnerable to tyranny, why don't they do a little investigating and prove one of these crimes? They've yet to prove a single one of these mass shootings, and I'm sick of it.
Yes. We won't talk about the anomalies at Sutherland Springs. We've talked about that before. We'll touch on that another time. They're building a new church. The old one is still there. Lots of money came in. At any rate, absolutely. Where's the hair DNA test? We see it on TV. Cops going to the nth degree to test every shred of hair and blood to make sure they do the outlines on the floors. And they show on these TV shows what looks like a real cadaver in an autopsy and tearing into them. I mean, so we have the stomach to watch that. Little children might not know the difference between reality and these shows they see. All sorts of them, Criminal Minds. And
I don't think adults know the difference.
Yeah. 35 is the new 16, right? The arrested development of so many people now. And so we have the perfect framework. People can easily look at a real shooting if they can look at the kind of quasi-reality and gore they see on TV and in the movies. And yet we're denied the very reports that you rightly demand, Ron, that would even remotely justify them carrying out the unlawful act of civilian disarmament against the Second Amendment. But it really doesn't justify it. But we do need to see the facts. But the media and the government have abandoned these things.
You're right.
James Perloff, the CFR author, this coming Friday. Please tune in. Thanks.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcast.